Amen. We need one of them chalkboards where you say, action. Hey, we're on. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom, everybody. Glory to God. God is good. Amen. How many know we live in some trying times right now? So before we get started, I'd like to read a passage of Scripture. A couple passages of Scripture. We have some... in our nation, we have, well, let's just say it like it is. We've got the beginnings of anarchy in some of our larger cities. Now, they try to cover that up and say, well, these are protesters, and we have the freedom to protest. We do have the freedom to protest, amen? But we don't, I'm talking about the gun violence. I'm talking about the looting, the burning down of people's property, that's not protesting. That's anarchy. Those are crimes, and you should have to pay the price for that. But we live in some uneasy times. And I'll just be honest with you. Last night I was laying down, and I was thinking about an article that I had read about the election and how it was swinging in a way that I would be very concerned. And, I laid there, and I started to feel some anxiety a little bit about it. And then thank God for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit kind of came over me and was like, you don't need to be fretting, No matter how it comes out, we still put our trust in God. Our trust is in God. Anxiety builds when our trust is in a donkey or an elephant, And our trust has got to be in God and God alone. So Paul, writing to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, and whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." The coronavirus has killed a lot of people. We probably will never know the true numbers. But you know what? I take comfort in the fact that God is my healer. Amen. That Jesus was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities, the chastisement of my peace is upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. Amen? So I take great consolation in the fact I don't worry about the disease or any disease. I always put my trust and faith in my healer. Glory to God. So we live in a time when you can find a reason to develop some anxiety, some fear, some worry. And tonight I want to talk to you about the Sabbath as being a form of resistance or an alternative to the fear and anxiety that the world brings us. Somebody say amen or oh me. Amen. So if you've got your notes there, go to your notes. We're going to read a few passages of Scripture tonight. Number one in your notes, it says, "Modern day Christians pay little attention to the Sabbath. For many, our memories of the Sabbath are essentially negative. A series of thou shalt nots and prohibitions. Things you could not do. This context did not offer much potential for seeing the Sabbath in a positive way as an affirmative declaration of faith or identity." While the Christian believers in Jerusalem in Jesus' day, as Christianity began to spread, and they left the they quit keeping the Sabbath after Constantine came along, Constantine changed the Sabbath from Friday evening to Saturday evening. He changed it to Sunday. And so Christianity got away from keeping the Sabbath. But one of the amazing things about the Jewish people, for the last 2,000 years, they've maintained the Sabbath, and that has aided them in maintaining their identity as Jewish people. Number two, as in so many things concerning Christian faith and practice, we must be re-educated by Judaism that has been able to sustain its commitment to the Sabbath as a positive practice of faith. Abraham Heschel's book on the Sabbath is still a leading voice in the Jewish awareness of Shabbat. One of my favorite things to do in Jerusalem is to be in the old city when Shabbat is about to take place. On Friday evening, I love to be there around 4 o'clock, be down in the old city, be in the Jewish quarter. When the Jewish people come out for Shabbat, they're headed to the Western Wall. They will dance, they will praise God. But when they come out, they're dressed very well. They're dressed in their, we would say it in America, they're dressed in their Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. Amen? They're dressed up, families are together, they're playing instruments as they're kind of marching down to the Western Wall. They're really genuinely, most of them seem to be genuinely excited about the Shabbat, about that sanctuary in time where you're going to take yourself away from the cares of this world, and it's just going to be you and God and your family. Amen? Number three in our notes, when we begin to observe the Sabbath, slowly settling our mind and hearts from the demands of the hectic everyday life and work-related demands, the Sabbath enforces the value that the earth and life in it are gifts from our divine Creator, which He has given to humankind in a sacred trust. Now think about that for a minute. Think about the Shabbat. We think about Sabbath as being restrictive. But think about the Sabbath as a gift that God gave to mankind. Amen? Then you begin to value it, to see it in a different light. Number four in your notes, we have become the generation of needs and desires that leave us endlessly restless, worn out, feeling inadequate, unfulfilled, and constantly in pursuit of that which does not satisfy the desire of the divine spark within us. In other words, the things of this material world, money and stuff that we run after so hard, cannot satisfy the eternal spark within us. Let's turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Page 848, if you've got a Bible like mine. Chapter 3, verse 9. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? Did I tell you verse 9? Chapter 3, verse 9. I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. The God-given task in which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. So the writer of Ecclesiastes tells us that we have a God-given task here on the earth. And he also tells us that God has placed within each one of our hearts a spark of eternity. That is your spirit man. You have a body, you have a soul, and you also have a spirit. Amen? And it's that spirit in you that is that spark of eternity. It's your spirit that wants to value and wants to rest on Shabbat. All right, let's keep going here. That is the spark within us. The modern day rat race causes restlessness in the soul that it issues inescapably or manifests in anxiety that is often at the edge of being unmanageable, causing many to be angry and for some to be violent. Wow. The age we live in, the rat race we live in, causes anxiety. You know, we say, I've said this before, what is the most valuable thing that Americans have? Time. It's our time. It's what we have the least of. And it's this rat race, this having to be here, having to be there, having to work more because I need to get this or buy this. You know, Americans are all about stuff. I can prove it. Most Americans have their garage full, their attic full, and they rent a storage building somewhere. In Bernie's case, he had a whole warehouse. But in his defense, he had a lot of stuff for his business back then. Right, Bernie? Yeah, a lot of that stuff. A lot of stuff was valuable. You take my garage, I'd probably take $100 for everything in that garage, okay? Because I had it all cleaned out really nice, and then my father-in-law passed away, and now it's filled up with stuff, you know? And it's not very valuable stuff, okay? But the point is, the pace of our lives causes restlessness and causes anxiety. Number six, as acute as this is for our society, this is not an unprecedented or even new situation. The Jewish people remember an old Pharaoh's insatiable appetite for production that caused them to live in a restless and anxiety-filled system. Why don't we turn over to Exodus chapter 5? Exodus chapter 5. Hallelujah. We'll start in verse 4. Then the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor. And Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are many now, and you make them rest from their labor. So the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no longer give the people straw to make brick as before. Let them go gather straw for themselves. I mean, they're already working hard, they're slaves, but now you're going to make them go fetch the supplies they need to make the bricks, to make your pyramids or whatever they're making. Verse 8, and you shall lay on them the quota of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it. In other words, you're going to have to go gather what you need, but you better continue to make the same amount of bricks. Wow. For they are idle, therefore they cry out, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let more work be laid on the men, that they may labor in it, and let them not regard false words. And the taskmasters of the people and their officers went out and spoke to the people, saying, thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go get yourselves straw where you can find it, yet none of your work will be reduced. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters forced them to hurry, saying, fulfill your work, your daily quota, as when there was straw. Also the officers of the children of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, why have you not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as before? Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried out to Pharaoh, saying, why are you dealing thus with your servants? So you can see, Pharaoh put so much on them that they were restless and full of anxiety. Do you know what? Our society, the demands our society places on us, He's kind of like Pharaoh. We think we have to do more, or we think we can do more than what we're already doing. And most of us are pretty maxed out with our time now. Somebody say amen or oh me. Number 7 in your notes. Miraculously, Israel is finally delivered from Pharaoh's anxiety-filled system and comes to the wilderness. There they were given bread. They were not permitted to store up. Let's go to Exodus 16. Exodus 16, verse 13 says, "So it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know that what it was. And Moses said to them, 'This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's needs, one omer for each person, according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent.' Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's needs." And of course, jump down to verse 21. "So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much, two omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, 'This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Shabbat rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning.'" So they gathered their bread every day, and on the sixth day they gathered twice as much, so that they wouldn't have to be concerned with what they were going to eat on Shabbat. God had provided for them. So in that sense, they could have a rest, a Sabbath rest, from worrying about what they were going to eat or how they were going to get it cooked. Number 8 in your notes. I think we're at number 8, is that right? "Even more remarkable, with the daily need for bread that was given each day, provision was made for the Sabbath. Israel was not permitted to store up bread for more than one day. Except on the sixth day, Israel may store up enough bread for the seventh day so that it can rest on the Sabbath." Number 9. "This provision is surely a sign that this bread of life is not under the demanding governance of Pharaoh. It is under the sustaining rule of the Melech HaOlam, the King of the Universe, the Creator himself. Even in the wilderness with scarce resources, God commands a pause for Shabbat for the whole community." Amen? So now God is providing for them, not Pharaoh. Amen? They're under the governance of God now, no longer Pharaoh. 10, verse number 10. "We can confirm from the biblical account of the children of Israel that wherever Yahweh governs as an alternative to Pharaoh, there the restfulness of Yahweh effectively counters the restless anxiety of Pharaoh." Let me put it to you another way. Instead of being stressed out all the time about not having enough time to do this, kids got to be here, kids got to be there, you know, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to work 12 hours a day so that I can make ends meet. Instead of submitting your life to Pharaoh, why don't we just learn just one day to rest in the arms of our Creator. Amen? Be under His governing rule. He loves us. Remember that. We're in 11. Yeah. The rat race of our contemporary lives often filled with anxiety, is often filled with anxiety. The observance of Sabbath is an act of both resistance and alternative. It is resistance because it is a visible insistence that our lives are not defined by the production and consumption of earthly goods, nor should it be defined by the news media or political parties. Somebody say amen. Sabbath is a resistance against the world system. Somebody say amen. 12, such an act of resistance requires intentionality and support from family and the community of believers. These reinforcements aid against the barrage of seductive pressures from the insatiable insistences and intrusions that come into every part of our lives. From family matters to money matters, the intrusions just keep on coming. You understand what I'm saying here? You try to keep Shabbat, but there's always some kind of intrusion. There's always something that takes you away from that. So it requires an intentionality. I'm going to intentionally keep the Shabbat. I'm going to diligently work at keeping it. Amen. Setting that time aside for God. Number 13, Sabbath is not only resistance, it is alternative. It is an alternative to the demanding, chattering, pervasive presence of advertising and its great claim of professional and collegiate sports that can devour all our rest time. When I talk about rest, I'm not talking about just watching college football all day Saturday. I'm talking about resting in God, praying, spending some time with God. Let me give you a hint. When you go to spend time with God, do it early in the day. If I don't do it early in the day, it doesn't get done because the phone begins to ring. You know, I have a job to do, and the intrusions just keep on coming until I lay my head down at night. So you're going to seek God, do it late in the evening, or do it early in the morning, or do it both. Somebody say amen or oh me. Try to get us out of here soon. It is hot in here. We at 14? Yes. Because of the hour we live in, I believe the most difficult commandment and the most urgent commandment for our society is the Sabbath. It causes us to summon courage, purpose. What is purpose? Purpose is the reason for a thing. Amen? We've got to understand what God intended, what his purpose for Shabbat was. It was for your well-being. It was a gift to you. Purpose and intent, behavior that defies the most elemental requirements of a material-propelled society and specializes in control. And then I wrote in there what control I'm talking about. Time restraint. How many of you know you have to be, to keep Shabbat, to spend time with God, you've got to learn to organize your time. And you've got to do it intentionally. You know, if I'm going to get up and pray early in the morning, I can't stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning. Now, Shope, he's always up at 1 o'clock in the morning. So he's always up there with God, you know. So pray for us instead of waking me up with all them messages, will you? You know, that ding every time they come on my phone. I thought it was funny. Time restraint and entertainment, food, circuses, along with anxiety and violence. Matthew 11. Let's go to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. You ever get any messages, Mike? No, really? Matthew 11. Let's start in verse 25. At that time, page 1310, if you got a Bible like mine. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The heavy yoke that Jesus, or that Yeshua speaks about, refers to the oppression of Rome and its demanding taxation. The empire had an insatiable appetite for taxes and more taxes, to fund their military adventure. 16. It is equally possible that the yoke refers to the stringent requirements of the religious leaders of Jesus' day. Either way, empire or religion, the requirements of the yoke were heavy, burdensome. 17. Yeshua, who resisted the yoke of Rome and the religious leaders, he seems to be offering an alternative life of discipleship. The command to love God and to love your neighbor certainly is an alternative to the rat race lifestyle of our material society. Let me suggest something to you. You know, when you think about a 24-hour period from sundown on Friday night to sundown on Saturday evening, and I know in our society there are things that we just feel like we can't get done if we don't do it on Saturday. Why don't you try this? Try spending some time in prayer. Say blessings over your children, over your wives, over your husbands, over your household, over your pastor. Pray for people in the church on Friday evening. Get up early on Saturday and spend some quality time in prayer and studying your Bible. And then if you've got something to do after that, go do it. But give God, try that. Try giving God consistently. This is the key for me. I'm not as consistent as I want to be. I'll keep Shabbat one or two Saturdays in a row, and then I'll miss one or two. And I'm trying to get that consistency in my life because we live in a time when we need to know our God and know Him every moment of every day. Our lives need to be God-centric. That's a fancy word for centered. God's got to be number one in our lives. And Shabbat helps us do that if we observe it and keep it. Anybody know where we left off? How about 18? The teaching of Jesus and in practice of Jesus and his followers, gifts are given. The gifts that are given lie outside the domain of the empire and the material earthly realm. They are found within the boundaries of the community of believers and a life of servanthood to the King of Kings. God gives us gifts. Not the state, not the government. God gives us the gift of Shabbat. Amen? God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Father gives us the gift of our Messiah, our Savior, our Lord. Amen? Our Father, our Heavenly Father has given us His word, His promises. Amen? All the gifts that are important come from Him. 19, the Sabbath is a gift and we should be grateful. It is a gift of peace, an alternative for many who are weary and heavy laden with the cares of this world, and they should receive it gladly. 20, Yeshua, or Jesus, is the Sar Shalom. He is the Prince of Peace. For me, observing Shabbat is receiving the Prince of Peace into my home and casting my cares upon Him because He cares for me. 21, the acceptance of the free gift of Shabbat and its observance might very well help us to love our neighbors And in the division that we see in our families, churches, ethnic groups, and our society as a whole. 22, here's a quote from a man smarter than me. This is dying within life for love of God. Talking about keeping the Shabbat. He says, this is dying within life for the love of God. Remember, Paul said, I die daily. Amen. Meaning his life was a living sacrifice to God. In other words, he did what God wanted him to do and not what he wanted to do. So this is dying within life for the love of God. It is a divestment of will for God's sake and the wonder of the world. Walter Brueggemann, Columbia Theological Seminary. So I looked up the word divestment. Divestment is the action or process of selling off subsidiary business interests or investments. To divest something is to deprive or dispossess, especially of property, authority, or title. It is to strip away or to take away. Shabbat observance is the stripping away of the empire's authority over you while submitting to God's authority for you and your family, so that you might rest your mind, your body, and your soul. So to keep Shabbat, sometimes you'll have to strip away some of those outside things that you might want to do, and sometimes they're not even an outside thing. You know, Debbie works, I work. Sometimes we just want to sit down, kick our feet up. We don't want to do anything. But we still have to fight that, strip that away in order to spend some time with God. Amen? Shabbat, I believe, is so important for us today. You push the button, Bernie? Amen? Let me pray for you. Father, we love you, we praise you, we magnify you, we glorify you. There is none like you. And Father, I ask that you bless these, your people, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. No. Oh. There's a box there you push. Might not make any difference. Finish. There we go. We got our bread here, man. Oh, and the honey. Bernie got the honey. Yeah. I'm closing my Bible so it don't get sticky. Man. Sweet. That's good. And Deb, I don't know how you make it so good. Sell it so cheap.